I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. It is joy that our Lord wants to instill within our hearts, to fill our hearts with joy, that it might be complete, total, whole and entire. But unfortunately, there are many places, many souls in the church that are not joyful. There are many unjoyful Catholics. This is not simply to chalk it up to the looks of things. A reminder to us of, I think it was St. Teresa, who said, "God save us from sour-faced saints." We're not talking about sour faces. We're talking about sour hearts. So many hearts that lack the joy that Jesus Christ wants to give to us. Some of this we can certainly understand and oddly to grieve. The places where joy has been sapped from hearts because they have suffered at the hands of the church, abuse in a variety of ways. This is a great sorrow, and not to their own choosing very often, but a bearing of the share of the cross in an extraordinary manner. It's also to acknowledge, though, that there are a large number of people of the church whose faith has become secondary to their politics or their ideologies. Those who keep waiting for the church to finally catch up with the world, to get up with the times and so many things, and how unhappy they are until she does. They keep complaining and waiting for the day, and the day will not come because the church does not get up with the times. The church is called to change the world and to stand firm on the truth that is Jesus Christ. And yet so many souls unhappy with our church and her teachings. There are those also who, not bitter about the church's teachings, simply haven't really received them. There are hearts that have been catechized, perhaps, but catechized rather poorly. The catechesis of the church in the last 75 years or so being in so many places rather lackluster in its gift. So many not receiving the fullness of the gospel that is able to instill joy in hearts, but allowing the faith to be merely an external observance of things, obligations. We attend Mass, we go to holy days, we do the things that we need to do, but nothing further. These souls that are content simply to have heard a bit about the church, but have not really given one's whole heart to it. There are also those who, looking at the reality of the church these days, see that there are a lot of issues, there are difficulties, and people in positions of power and authority who abuse the gift of our faith and make of it something that it is not, or try to say that they are Catholic when in fact they are not, at least not in any living practical sense. And it's a discouragement. And so many people take the way of the evil one to seeking to look at all the negative things and forget, because of the focus so intensely upon the negative, that there is actually good news in the church. And they focus less on the good news of the gospel and more on what's going wrong. And here too, they lose the joy that the gospel seeks to bring to us. It is joy that Christ desires. It is joy that he prays for. Right here at the end, these concluding prayers is kind of is priestly discourse there at the Last Supper, praying for the apostles and those who would believe through them, praying that they would be full of joy. The good news is that joy is not ours to conjure up. None of us can make ourselves joyful. None of us can go and find joy in the world. None of us can do anything to manufacture it within our soul. Joy is a gift that comes from the Lord God, and more accurately, a fruit. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us, this joy that Jesus wants to set in our hearts. And thus we can rightly understand what our Lord is telling the disciples. He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Your joy may be complete." The joy that we are called to have is not our joy, is not something, again, that we ourselves manufacture or produce, but rather it is the joy of Jesus Christ that is placed in our hearts and is called to continue to well up within us, to bear many, many fruits. It is that joy that Christ wants to instill in us. The joy of the heart of Jesus, which is simply to know that he is a beloved Son of God the Father, to know that he indeed keeps the commandments well, that he is faithful to God, and that even though the cross will come, he's only hours away from it, and as he speaks these words, even though the cross will come, he knows that there is an abiding joy in his breast, because in all of these things, the Father knows and has control over it. He is mindful of him, that everything is in the Father's hands. It's confidence in the Lord. This is what brings that true joy, and the world cannot steal it. It's this joy that Jesus Christ wants to increase in our hearts. Unfortunately, though, we sometimes forget that it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit and tend to treat it as something that we ourselves can attain simply by our own doing. And we usually start at the worst possible level. We start with the simple pleasures of things. The world is happy to offer us a whole variety of pleasures, foods and drinks, entertainment in a whole variety of forms, sinful and not, the things of technology and all of that that can simply draw us in and keep us close. And it gives us a pleasure, but typically only for a moment. And when that moment passes, we wait for the next pleasure. It's the thing of social media. You watch one video, or you see one meme, or you see one this, that, or the other thing, and you laugh, and it's a great time, and then you move on to the next one and see if it's equally as great. And if it's not, you move to the next one, hoping that one will bring things back. And again, and again, and again, seeking the pleasures. There's so many things in the world in which we can seek pleasure, but this pleasure always leaves us empty. Beyond merely the pleasures of life, we can seek a happiness that's here, because there is a happiness, a natural happiness to this world. There's the happiness of a vacation, of time away spent among family or friends, of a good meal, of a beautiful scenery, beautiful nature, a beautiful experience of nice weather and such. These things can bring us a natural happiness. But always when they end, we are left with something missing. We know in the depths of our heart that that was not enough to satisfy us, that we long for something more. And we all long for something more. That something more is the joy that Christ offers to us. That joy that, again, is his joy placed within us. His joy that's not determined by the fleeting pleasures of the world or the happiness of a moment or of an experience, but rather something that is even more confident, placing our hearts and our hopes not on things in this life, but on the eternal one, on God our Heavenly Father. Abiding in the Lord, then, we can have this joy. We can't choose it by our own doing. Again, we can't manufacture it, but we can do certain things to assure that it arises within us. And they are the things that our Lord tells us: to keep the commandments, to stay faithful to the will of the Father is to know that we will grow in confidence in him, and to know that the will of the Father always is what is best. Even if it is a difficult path for us, it will be best for us. And so for us, in experiencing these things, to come to know his closeness to us is to know also the fact of remaining in him, to remain in that love which has been planted in our hearts by virtue of the sacrament of baptism, to remain in his love by receiving the Holy Eucharist, to be revived in that love if we have lost it by the sacrament of confession, to allow that life to continue to course through our veins and to fill us with his life, with his love. And of course, to remain in that friendship with Jesus, a friendship that is a life of prayer, to spend time regularly, daily, with the person of Jesus Christ, speaking and listening, to be friends with Jesus. If we are friends with Jesus, if we remain in him, if we keep his commandments, joy will happen within us. It will arise within us because this is what the Lord has promised us. If we do these things, we will bear much fruit. So the question is, are you joyful? Is the joy of Jesus Christ abiding in your heart? If the answer is yes, God be praised. But if the answer is no, or not entirely, then it's the invitation for us to consider these ways in which we can receive that fullness of joy from him, to conform ourselves more perfectly to the commandments of God and to his will, to abide in him by a deeper appreciation and celebration and living in the sacramental life of the church, and especially by that intimate friendship with the person of Jesus. And so we beg the Lord today to encourage us and to strengthen us, to call us to himself, to help us to remain in him, to keep his commandments, to be his friends, and to know that we will bear much fruit and holy joy for the glory of God, for the peace for our soul, and for the nourishment of the world.